Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome to the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Dennis Ackerman. Pleased to be joined by former Raider great Stanford Routes. Dan, it is a great time of year. College football kicked off last weekend, but full swing this weekend. We've got to wait a little bit longer for the NFL. But, hey, man, roster cuts downs just happened on Tuesday, so we know what the Raiders roster looks like, don't we?
Yeah. I think this is a time of year that everybody starts to go ahead and just rejoice with college football coming back. You got NFL right around the corner, what, about a week away? So it's definitely going to be a fun time. And, yeah, you know, with just the other day having the roster cut downs, you know, pretty much the season doesn't officially kick off till what is, I believe, September 7th, the Thursday night game with the – who was it, the Buffalo Bills? Or I'm sorry, the, no, Kansas City – is it
– The Lions at the Chiefs, I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the Lions and the Chiefs. I knew it was that – and so, you know, pretty much everybody that was on the roster as of just a couple of days ago is going to be on the roster whenever the season officially kicks off next weekend.
All right, Stan, let's talk about the Raiders roster. Now, they had 54 players who survived cuts on Tuesday. The Raiders have a roster exemption for recently signed running back Josh Jacobs. Stan, this is pretty remarkable, I thought, when I read this. Only 15 players are still around when GM Dave Ziegler and head coach Josh McDaniels took over last year. So basically, in less than two calendar years, they essentially have flipped this roster. You know, so, I mean, they did that from a team that made the playoffs. So, Stan, I mean, if you're looking at this team, let's say they go 6-11 again. I know expectations aren't that high. So, look, at Ziegler and McDaniels, unless it's an absolute collapse where they win two, three games, maybe you got to figure – they have a bye again this year, don't they? And they're back for sure next year.
I think it really depends on how the year goes. I think if it looks like Josh McDaniels is losing the team, like he's losing the locker room, there's a very good chance that Mark Davis may go ahead and just make a move at the top. And I think that when you really look at everything in its totality, I mean, we thought that Nathaniel Hackett would last more than a year for the Denver Broncos. So I think that once it looks like a coach has lost the team, lost the locker room, then all bets are off. But I see where you're going with it. I'm just not so quick to just say that automatically Josh McDaniels is going to be granted a reprieve.
They won six games last year. Vegas over under 6.5. Stan, what would you bet? If you're a betting man, you go over under on that total, 6.5.
I want to say over. I want to say over. I think 6.5 is low. I want to say over.
All right. I think if I'm going to go over, I'm going to go barely over, maybe 7, yeah. Possibly. Mm-hmm. I think a good year is 8 wins. So before we break down all the offense and defensive positions and the players who made the roster, let's get the read in here. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code, beg your pardon, Believe, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Stan, let's start with the quarterback situation. We know Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback now. The backups, Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell, they cut Chase Garbers. Stan, we know they brought in Jimmy G to replace Derek Carr. They believe he's better, plain and simple. Garoppolo, look, he was good last year, but he also had a very good supporting cast with him with the San Francisco 49ers. Let's not, make light of that. He's never had a receiver, however, like Devontae Adams, so maybe that'll up his game more. Stan, let me ask you this. I'm more looking at the Raiders backup quarterback situation. I've had a couple of friends text me. Raider fans are like, get rid of Brian Hoyer. Let's go with Aiden O'Connell. I know he's looked good in the preseason. I'm like, guys, slow down. It's the preseason. I know Hoyer hasn't played that well. I know he's 37 and he wanted to retire, but McDaniels convinced him to come back. Stan, I mean, if you look at this, I mean, how confident would you feel going into the season with a rookie backup quarterback in O'Connell, given Jimmy G's injury history?
I wouldn't be that confident because, like you just said, it's a rookie backup quarterback, and it's not a Bryce Young or, you know, anybody of that stature or somebody that was drafted really, really high like the other guys were from Indianapolis and for the Houston Texans. But Josh McDaniels, obviously there's something that he sees. There's something that he's thinking because he knows Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, he's a New England Patriot. Somebody Josh McDaniels has been around, things like that. So for him to make that move, for him to do that, there's got to be something, some sort of ideology, some sort of mindset that's making him do that. So at this point, we both really don't have any choice but to just go ahead and put our faith in Josh McDaniels and assume that he knows what he's doing because he's been around these guys. And for him to make that choice, there has to be some sort of knowledge behind it.
Dan, let me ask you those. Let's just say Jimmy G is a perfect fit in Josh McDaniels' system. Everything clicks. Davante Adams had a huge year a year ago in his first season with the Raiders. 17-game season, Stan. Am I out of my mind thinking Davante Adams could get 2,000 yards receiving? Everything clicks.
Everything clicks. No, you're not out of your mind. I definitely still would kind of tell you that you might want to go ahead and, you know, slow down on the drinks or slow down on the beers for the night. Just because, I mean, we look at Jerry Rice. We look at him having that record for so long. We look at Calvin Johnson back in 2012 when he broke the record. That's very difficult. And I'm talking about two guys that are wearing gold jackets. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Davante Adams, he's going to be wearing a gold jacket one day as well. We all know that. But it just everything, and I mean everything, everything, everything has to go right for that to happen just because it's a long, grueling season. Some teams are going to game plan. They're going to scheme to try to take you away to make sure that you don't have a big day. And now we have 17-game season, obviously 16 games back when Jerry Rice and Calvin Johnson did it, but you have to average well over 100 yards a game. And that's just something that in a lengthy season, that's just so tough to do with these D coordinators that are going to make sure that they're not going to allow the Raiders to beat them with their right hand, a.k.a. having Davante Adams have a big day.
Yeah, let's talk about the wide receiver group now. Davante Adams, who I just mentioned. We got Jacoby Myers, who came over as a free agent from the New England Patriots. Hunter Renfrow, hoping he has a bounce back season here in 2023. Then the backups, Trey Tucker, DeAndre Carter, Christian Wilkerson. They cut Philip Dorsett, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise, Dan. Keelan Cole Sr., who was a good special teams player a year ago for the Silver and Black, Cam Sims, and then Chris Lacy. Now, Dorsett did get picked up by the Denver Broncos. So, Stan, if I look at this group as a whole, and like I said, I'm hoping Hunter Renfrow can have a bounce-back season. Stan, I feel like I could put this group up against any set of wide receivers in the NFL and feel pretty darn good about it, don't you?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's just going to come down to the quarterback. It's going to come down to whether Jimmy G can get them the ball. It's going to come down to his health. It's going to come down to his availability. But I'm right there with you. I think that as far as the core in general, I like it. I'm not completely in love with it, but definitely has more than enough ability to be able to get the job done.
And you take a look at the running backs now, Stan. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is back. His holdout has ended. He's going to play a one-year $10 million, give or take, deal. We got Zamir White. He'll be the backup running back as well. Stan, I guess the question to you, Josh Jacobs, do you think he can put together another season like he did a year ago, or how much do you think last year he was playing for a contract, and that's why he put up such big numbers?
Well, obviously, he was playing for a contract, but the question is, do I think he can do it again? Yes, I do. I mean, he's only, 24, 25 years old, so he still is young, even by running back standards, per se. I think as long as he doesn't get injured, let me knock on wood, as long as he doesn't get injured, I think he's going to be in store for another monster season, because there's going to come times where Jimmy G may not be available, and they may have the rookie quarterback in the fold. Well, what's the rookie quarterback's best friend? Guess what? A run game and a good defense. We know the Raiders are not going to have a stout defense, but they will definitely have a Josh Jacobs in the backfield to alleviate some of that pressure off of whether it's Jimmy G or your backup quarterback, O'Connell.
All right, Stan, let's take a look at the tight end position now. And the rookie out of Notre Dame, Michael Meyer, looks like he's going to be the starter. Then you got the backups of Austin Hooper, Jesper Horsted. They cut Cole Fotheringham, although they put him on the practice squad. And I'll get to the practice squad at the end of this podcast. They also cut John Samuel Shanker. Stan, I know there's a lot of expectations with Meyer, the rookie out of Notre Dame, as I just mentioned. But I just keep going back to, if Darren Waller is healthy this year and they re-signed Foster Moreau. I just thought that was a position of strength for them. Something that they should, they should have held on to both of them. I don't think they should have traded Waller. I know it was probably more of a cap clearing space with him and then Moreau. I really liked him. I thought he filled in very well for Waller a year ago. So I thought that went from a position of strength to stand perhaps a position of question mark. Am I off base here?
No, you're definitely not. I mean, obviously, Foster Moreau bouncing back from his cancer scare with the New Orleans Saints now, and then we see Darren Waller with the New York Giants. So it's definitely not out of the realm of reasoning for you to be nervous, for you to be apprehensive, and just simply be flat out not unconfident with that corpse just because it's unproven. And that's where we all know that this league is about. You got to go ahead, got to put it out there. So it definitely remains to be seen. And there's definitely room for improvement, or should I say room left to be desired.
All right. Now the final position group is the offensive line. We got Colton Miller, the starting left tackle. Dylan Parham is the starting left guard. We got Andre James back at starting center. And then a surprise at right guard, Greg Van Roten beat out Alex Barrs, who the team ended up cutting after he started 14 games a year ago. Then I guess Jermaine Illuminor or Thayer Munford Jr., I don't know if they've said who's going to start at the right tackle position. Now they've kept Justin Huron as a backup and Jordan Meredith, so only a couple backup offensive linemen. I got to think that's going to change, Stan. But, you know, I mentioned the Alex Barrs. Has this group gotten better, do you think, from a year ago? Well, obviously, they could run block well with Josh Jacobs leading the NFL in rushing, but you got to pass protect, and at times they were suspects, Dan.
Yeah, I would basically just say unilateral. I'm not sure if they got better, not sure if they got worse. It just remains to be seen. They didn't make any major upgrades or anything like that. Nobody was taken with the top 15 pick. That's your stud left tackle that you know is going to be a cornerstone for your team for years to come, or drafting someone at the pivot position, the center, that you know is going to be the anchor of your offensive line for the next decade. So because of that, I would just go ahead and just give it a question mark. I'm not sure if they got better or worse. I would say unilateral. It was just kind of like a lateral step. You know, didn't do anything great, didn't do anything bad. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to gel together? Are they going to become cohesive when they need to be able to go ahead and push this offensive and propel them forward?
We'll find it September the 10th when the Raiders start the season at Denver, take it on the Broncos, and we'll see a new look Russell Wilson perhaps. All right, let's go to your side of the ball, the defense now. Let's start with the big boys up front, Stan. We've got Max Crosby on one end. Bilal Nichols, Jerry Tillery are going to be the two defensive tackles. And Chandler Jones, let's hope for a bounce-back season from him. Now the backups are Tyree Wilson, their first-round pick out of Texas Tech, Byron Young, Malcolm Kuntz, Adam Butler, John Jacobs, Nesta Jade-Silvera. Stan, this group underperformed last year, underwhelmed, however you want to say it, didn't perform up to par. How do you feel about this group outside of Crosby heading into the season?
The same way I felt last year. I mean, once again, they had Tyree Wilson that they drafted him number 7 overall. Some people felt it was a reach. Some people felt he was overdrafted. We don't know. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give him the right to prove it this coming season. We're not going to cast any aspersions on him right away. But other than that, there's no other movement that you saw within, like you just said, the D-line minus a Max Crosby, because we already know that he's a stud. We already know he's an all-pro. It just is a remain to be seen type of situation. And I feel like that's what most of Raider Nation is feeling, is that, okay, we get it, but we still need to see it out there on the football field, because we feel like we've seen this movie over the last several years.
Dan, let me ask you about Neil Farrell. He was a 4th-round pick a year ago. He had a cup of coffee basically as a rookie. Then this year he got hurt in camp. He fell behind. The Raiders ended up trading him to Kansas City, which was a surprise. They traded him within the division and to Kansas City. They got a 6th-round pick in return. Look, is it just one of those things where, because the Raiders draft history, we're like, oh my gosh, this is a 4th-rounder. He should be contributing to the Raiders. Not only is it, maybe not as a rookie, but in his second year, we would expect some contributions out of him. Instead, they ship him out to Kansas City. Am I overreacting, or is like, here we go again?
I think anytime you get mid-round guys, I think that it's one of those situations that it could pan out, it could not pan out. That's why it's a mid-round guy. I think it's very easy to sit up and be a Monday morning quarterback and go ahead and condemn the organization, condemn the brass for simply making a draft pick in the fourth round, and now you're trading him a year later. But you also got to look at it from the standpoint of, if they realize that this guy is not going to be able to help us, he's not going to be able to be productive, let's go ahead and get something for him rather than just simply cut him in training camp. And now we don't get anything. So they got a sixth round pick in return for him. And hopefully that pans out to being something in the near future.
Dan, let me ask you this. I know you want to be a defensive coordinator someday. The Raiders had just 27 sacks as a unit last year. You're the Raiders defensive coordinator. What would be your goal? What is your number over under that you would want your defense to record sack wise in 17 games? What is realistic, do you think?
What's realistic or what would I want?
Both.
I would say what's realistic for the Las Vegas Raiders. I'd say, let's go ahead and say right at about maybe 31, 32, as far as, you know, the number for them this year. And I say that because they didn't make any massive upgrades. And that's why I say 31 to 32. They had 27 last year. I'm picking Tyree Wilson to go ahead and probably maybe get about 4 or 5 this year. I would love to see him get more than that. But if you're just asking me, that's what I'm thinking. Now, as far as what I would like, me as a D coordinator, I want my defense getting somewhere in that 40 to 45 range of sacks, because that changes the game. That puts the quarterback on his back. And if you're getting that many sacks, you're probably getting twice as many pressures. And if you're getting that many pressures, the ball's got to be coming out quicker. Sometimes it may be coming out on an errant throw. It may not come out accurate. One of the D linemen may get his hands in the air. It's a batted ball, tip pass. That can lead to an interception, things like that. So that's where I would want my defense at as a defensive coordinator, at least in that 40 to 45 range. I'm not saying that's the direct amount. I'm saying at least in that range, just because of what it can do for a defense, and especially what it can do for a young and inexperienced secondary, minus Marcus Peters.
All right, Stan, let's take a look at the linebackers now. We got Divine Diablo is going to start in the middle. You got Robert Spillane. Luke Masterson is listed as a starter, but Stan, let's face it, I mean, most teams today are running, what, a 4-2-5, realistically, four down linemen, a couple of linebackers. Yes. Darian Butler, Amari Burney, and Curtis Bolton are the backups. Stan, I guess I'm going to take a flyer, and it's going to be a wait and see on this group, right?
Same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much it's wait and see for me on a lot of the group positions on this team. And yeah, you're spot on, right? I think that obviously with Spillane coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, he was in the fold, but you still want to see, is it going to translate to being a difference maker for this defense out in the AFC West and not the AFC North?
All right, Stan, let's take a look at your former position. That's the corner now. The starters, looks like Marcus Peters, Ja'Corian Bennett, Nate Hobbs in the slot. The backups, David Long Jr., Brandon Faison, Amik Robertson actually made it. Wasn't sure if he was going to. They cut Sam Webb, Duke Shelley, Tyler Hall. Stan, what's your analysis of this group?
Wait and see. Obviously, with Marcus Peters, we know what he brings to the table, or should I say we know what he did bring to the table. Everybody else with Nate Hobbs doing his thing in the slot, things like that. We got the young guy, Bennett, out of Maryland. Hopefully he pans out. Hopefully he starts paying some dividends early on as a rookie. But we all know with corner being the most or the second most hardest position to play in the NFL, I'm not going to go and put all of my eggs in his basket as far as the confidence of him paying dividends this early as a rookie. I think, once again, it's just a wait and see approach. It remains to be seen. I'm cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, that may be me being a homer and just the realistic side of me. I'm not expecting a lot of great things out of the secondary. But once again, like I said, I would love to be pleasantly surprised and wrong with my assessment right now.
Stan, let me ask you this. I want to talk a little bit more about Ja'Corian Bennett, the rookie out of Maryland. The Raiders coaching staff seemed to be high on him. So let me ask you this. You just mentioned, and we've talked about this before, corner is the second toughest position now in the NFL, in football, behind the quarterback position. What would you need to see for Bennett to make him a starter from day one? Or what would you not need to see from him to bring him along a little bit slowly so you don't kill his confidence? I'm going to, you know, look at athletes have the same thing. They lose confidence. You see it. So
yes.
What would you do with a guy like him?
What would I need to see for me to go ahead and just put him as a starter? I would just need to see does he look like he's able to handle the moment? Does the moment look like it's too big for him? Does it look like he belongs? And when I say that, does he look like he's ready for this? So if he's now covering his receiver on a go ball, and let's say he's covering Davante Adams in practice, is he able to locate the ball? Is he able to not panic and get a pass interference? Is he able to go up for the ball? Does he look like he belongs whenever he's covering the Hunter Renfrows, whenever he's covering the Davante Adams, or just anybody in the preseason? That, to me, is what the measure is. You look at other corners like Tariq Woolen last year, 6 INTs for the Seattle Seahawks. I believe he was a 5th or 6th round draft pick. I forget what it was, but I know he was a late-round pick, wound up being a Pro Bowler as a rookie, and obviously much respect to him. But you look like you belong. Doesn't mean you're making every play. You're going to get beat sometimes. But do you look like the moment is too big for you? That's what you're looking for, especially for a young corner, of do you want to throw him in the game? Do you want to put him in that starting lineup? He's got to look like he belongs, like the moment is not too big for him.
All right. Well, finally, the safety group. You got Marcus Epps, free agent, who came over from the Eagles. We know he's good against the ground game. How's he going to fare in the pass game? It sounds like he's taking Trayvon Merrick, who's in his 3rd year out of TCU, under his wing. Stan, I'm sure I still don't know if the Raiders know what they have in Merrick. I thought he was very good his rookie season. Then, yeah, like the rest of the defense, I thought he kind of took a step back a year ago. So I think it's kind of wait and see. What do we got with him? Isaiah Polamalu, he is one backup along with Chris Smith and Roderick Teamer. Stan, I'm going to be a little optimistic. I'm going to say this group has actually gotten better. I'm excited to see what Epps can do. And I'm looking for an improved Merrick and have his best season here in year 3. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely would take a wait-and-see approach. Hopefully Merrick turns the corner and now becomes one of the better safeties in the AFC, maybe even pushing for a Pro Bowl nod. And I think that would be great for this defense. Epps coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles can bring some of that experience of the playoffs in big games, and he can go ahead and continue to mentor Merrick and the rest of the guys in the secondary even, and hopefully that can pay dividends. So having a guy who's been there, having a guy who's got the experience, having a guy who can be a leader in that back end, man, it is invaluable, the level of confidence that he can bring and just the leadership and overall knowledge that can really help a lot of the young guys.
And I think we can, the special teams talking about now, I think Daniel Carlson, AJ Cole, I think you can put them up against any two in the NFL. And
no,
I think
if
the Raiders don't have the best, it's certainly up 2 or 3. All right, Stan, we've gone through each position group now. Let me ask you, which one do you think is the strength of the Raiders and which one is the biggest question mark heading into week 1?
I would probably go with the strength of the Raiders. I would go with either the running back group, with obviously Josh Jacobs leading the way, and then we got the receivers, Davante Adams. So both those guys are tops in the league at their position as far as where they finished last year, stats, yards, things like that. And I would say the biggest question mark would probably be the corners. Obviously, you got Marcus Peters, but how much does he have left in the tank? Then you got a Jacorian Bennett. You draft him out of Maryland, mid-round draft pick. But is he going to be ready to go ahead and take the next step? I would say that those are probably the question marks on the team, along with some other positions. There's no doubt about it. But if you're asking me, I would say the strength is the receiver position, and then I would say the biggest question mark, probably the corners.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go along with both of those groups as well. All right, Stan, give me the player you are most excited to see in week 1.
Oh, on the Raiders, the player I'm most excited to see, I would probably go with the one I'm most excited to see is Jimmy G. Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to go ahead and translate some of the success he had with the 49ers to the black and silver? Is he going to be able to get the ball to a Davante Adams and a Hunter Renfrow and the myriad, or should I say the plethora of weapons that he has at his disposal? Is this team's soul, I'm not going to say soul, but is this team's brightest spot going to be the guy that led the league in rushing last year? Or is it going to be these receivers really being able to get open and showing how elite they are, and thus now leading the points on the board, and where it's not going to be completely falling on the shoulders of the defense, because we already know they're not exactly oozing in a lot of ability, or should I say talent, on the defense side of the ball. So they're going to definitely need a lot of point production from the offense.
Dan, let me ask you this. Best case scenario, Jimmy G's healthy, the offense clicks, the defense improves. Best case scenario, win-wise. Worst case scenario, everything falls apart. Jimmy G can't stay healthy. The defense, believe it or not, actually takes a step back. Worst case scenario, win-wise for the Silver and Black here coming up in 2023.
I would say best case scenario, I could see the Raiders sneaking around a 9-8. I could see them sneaking around a 10-7 type of season. Worst case scenario, Jimmy G gets hurt or just simply doesn't have it. Oh man, this thing could get real ugly, and you could be looking at staring down the barrel of a 3-14 type of season. So yeah, that would be my worst case scenario, 3-14.
You know, I still hate 17 games. I could just like, oh, the Raiders, I can see them 8-8. I feel like,
Yeah.
everything goes right.
I know what you mean. There's no 500 anymore.
Right. Yes. I'm like 500. Okay. You made it back to 500. It's like 8-9. That means you're still under 500, man. And then, you know, I think three wins is probably, if everything just went completely south on this franchise, I think three wins is probably what you're looking at. And unfortunately, Stan, I think Arizona is so god awful. I don't even know if three wins would get you the first pick and a shot at Caleb Williams. I think that Arizona might be lucky to win one or two games, man, with everything that they going on. So, well, we got to wait till September 10th. We open it up at the Broncos with Sean Payton, and we'll see what he's been able to do with Russell Wilson. But before that, the Houston Cougars, they kick off on Saturday. Stan, tell me about the team and who you guys are playing the season opener.
Yeah, we got to open up the season with UTSA. The Roadrunner is going to be a big game on FS1, I believe, Saturday afternoon. I'm sorry, Saturday evening around 6 o'clock, I think. So it's definitely going to be a good game. And, you know, you want to start off the year on the right foot. But definitely, if you walk into the stadium not with your chin strap buckled, you can easily lose to UTSA because they're a good team.
Dan, are you up in the box or are you down on the field?
Oh, I'd be down on the field.
Oh, and the game's on FS1?
Yes.
All right, man. I'm watching and I am looking for you on the sideline on
All right.
Saturday for sure. Good
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
as always, my man. Great edition of this episode.
Oh, man. Love it, man. Can't wait. We're back up for a new season. Man, this is my favorite time of year.
All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for another edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast presented by betonline.ag. For my partner, Stanford Rout, I'm Dennis Ackerman. May all your punts find the coffin corner.